lifestyle choices, and environmental factors impact your brain health and the physiology and psychology of your mental health. When you're ready to turn your brain on to get your game on, listen to In Your Head Radio. Now here's your host, Lee Richardson.
Thanks for being with me today. Today I've got a really interesting show. I've got Tanya Kolesnik, and she's a psychotherapist that turned personal development coach with 3 decades of professional experience helping people to pursue lives that honor their truest selves and clear their energetic clutter so that they are genuinely excited to be living. She does this by helping her clients to identify the limiting beliefs and the behavioral patterns that take up mental space and demand energy, but don't help to move the needle towards growth, meaning, or how they want to feel. Tanya, thanks for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, Lee. I'm so happy to be here with you.
So it's interesting, you know, you kind of went from psychotherapist to personal development coach. And, you know, that's a line that I dance back and forth over all the time. Was there something that happened that made you decide that's a definite shift? Or tell us your story.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, I had been doing a little bit of both. In 2004 or five, now I'm forgetting when, I actually did a certificate training with Martha Beck, who was a life coach back on Oprah's show back in the day. And so it's something that I really had been thinking about for a long time, and did a both for a while, where I would either be psychotherapist sometimes for people, and sometimes I would do the personal development coaching. And so for me, the difference really was psychotherapist, we would much more go into the past and when people were maybe a little bit more sort of in tender spots and needed a little bit more healing, whereas the personal development coaching was more towards the action and going into the next parts and the next chapters of their lives. And so as I was doing kind of the dance with both, it felt very depleting for me and also limiting in some ways. And in this day and age where we can reach people across the world, having a license within the New York area within certain kind of constraints felt too much guidance than I really was feeling like I needed at that time. And I wanted to honor my own heart, right? So that's part of a big part of what I help people do, is to connect to their hearts, honor their hearts. What does that look like? And so I moved towards leading with the coaching and actually ending the part of my life that was the psychotherapy and really doing the coaching, as it feels like it connects more to my creativity. And that's where I'm growing from there now.
Well, and that makes total sense to me, because I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, and that is very much focused on the negative thoughts that you're having and how those negative thoughts are limiting. So, and I think that ties in a lot to your approach, doesn't it? The limiting beliefs.
Yeah, like helping people to start to recognize and name them, but then what are the steps that they're going to take to start to clear them and not let them take so much space. I think sometimes in the psychotherapy world, we can spend a lot of time talking about those things and looking for some insights related to those things. And not that that's not valuable, but I feel like a lot of time can be spent there, whereas I'm much more interested in knowing, okay, that's something I carry. I get it. It's not really serving me anymore. And these are the places I want to start to grow and focus more on that part of it.
Absolutely. And once people get to that point where they want to let it go, then it becomes so much easier. And I mean, it's their intent. It's their energy that's going to let it go. I always, you know, that's I always right. say, you're the one in charge. It's... Mm-hmm. it's not something, it's something that it's a choice. I believe it's a choice that we all have to make. So I like the term you put, energetic clutter, because those negative beliefs, they just suck the life out of us. They, you know, they eat all of our good energy up. And when you don't have time for the, or the energy for the things that mean the most to you, because you're spinning, you're ruminating around the negative, something's got to change. So what's your first, so when someone comes, kind of give us an overview of your process.
Yeah. So usually when some, I mean, always, when somebody comes to work with me, they want something in their lives to change. And so where I begin with them is start to identify some of the patterns that are in the way for them. Usually somebody comes in with some clarity about pain points. Maybe they're feeling depleted. Maybe they're feeling irritable so much of the time, or experiencing some depressed mood, feeling a lot of resentment. Those are the pain points often somebody will come in with, but they don't necessarily have ideas of what's underneath it. And so where I begin is I help them track some of the pain points that they've identified. When is it showing up? What are some of the things that happened right before? What kind of patterns are they seeing? And we'll track it for a week or two and look at it. And then when we get a better sense of what the pattern is, what triggers the pattern, what leads to some of these experiences that they're not, they know they're not pleased having, we look underneath. What is that about? And often we can connect it to a limiting belief of some sort. So if somebody's feeling resentful because they're saying yes to tons of people and they're feeling depleted and they don't feel they get the same in return from somebody else, we can usually uncover some sort of messaging that saying yes to others will keep you safe. People won't abandon you. People won't leave you. And so therefore you need to say yes. So challenging that can feel scary until you start to identify, oh, I see where that started. I see what that story is about, and I see it as a story.
Well, I think storytelling is a great way, and that's the way the brain processes information. The brain turns it into a story. And the hard part is, though, that the brain does not have to have accurate information. The brain uses whatever's there to fill in that blank. And sometimes it fills in that blank incorrectly. And until people stop and really try to process what is going on in their head, they don't. And they'll continue to live that story, so to speak. And I find storytelling to be a great way to really help people process and help them speak their truth.
I love that. And I agree. And I think just to get discerning about which are the stories that we're carrying that are our own versus which are the stories that we kind of inherited, that they're stories from the families that we grew up in or the cultures that we grew up in. And actually, if we start to look at them, it's not even connected to our heart. We don't fully believe it anymore and start to create a new story. I love that.
So when people get to that point that something's got to change, you know, I definitely want something to change. Do you find that they are clear? Are they lacking clarity? Do they know that they want it to change? Do they have any idea how to do it?
I think at first there is some automatic behaviors and messaging, and that's what we started to talk about. So sometimes people don't even know to question some of that. When they start to understand that those were not some of those ideas, some of those limiting beliefs that they carry were not their own ideas, when they start to question that and connect to what might be truer for them now, I think at first it's more of an intellectual exercise. Like they're thinking it through, they get it. But in their heart, they don't necessarily believe it yet. And so it takes a little time for their emotional part to catch up to the intellectual part. And so I think sometimes, so for example, one thing that I've talked a lot about in my own life is my own people-pleasing tendencies. And when I started to recognize, oh, that wasn't my truth, this idea that people would abandon me if I didn't just say yes and be accommodating, I understood that intellectually, but to go against that emotionally felt very triggering at first, because a lot of these things are put in place to keep us safe, emotionally safe, usually. I mean, I suppose sometimes too, even physically safe if you kind of came from a really difficult upbringing, but those things put in place to keep us safe. So then when we start to push against them, it can be really triggering at first. So I think it's a little, I work with people really slowly, and also, I mean, slowly in that take a small step at a time and see what happens, what comes up in your body, what's getting triggered in you.
Okay. And I think, you know, giving ourselves grace and moving slowly is something that I personally struggle with. And I know I want to move too fast. And even though I know that I recognize it and I see it as a weakness, it's hard for me to change. Do you find people want to speed through the process?
For sure. And yeah, I think that's where catching yourself is so important. I can totally relate to that as well. And I find myself in some of the patterns of doing something new. I can feel really overwhelmed and I can have a really harsh inner critic with myself when I'm doing something new. But knowing that pattern can be really helpful and saying, ah, there it is. There's that pattern that I have identified and I recognize. And I see it now, so I'm not going to believe it now. And so I hear you. This stuff is not easy, even if you know kind of what might be a better way forward for any of us. I think it grips us anyway.
Oh, I think it does, too. And I think that, you know, it's true. I think back to raising my boys, and I used to think, you know, they're standing in their own way. They're the ones standing in their own way. And they've grown up. And sometimes I think that about a lot of my clients, and I think that about myself. You're standing in your own way. So I think it's a lot harder when you don't have the energy, when you don't have the internal, for lack of better word, metabolic vibe, it stops you. So what kind of energetic clutter do you see the most with your clients?
Most of what I see, and I made a little animation actually to define this because it's a little bit complicated sometimes, even though people get the gist, they get the idea of it. But some of the main limiting beliefs, and it's always paired with behaviors, I see are having to hustle for your worth. I mentioned my own, but I see a lot of it in my clients as well. The idea of you're going to be abandoned if you're not nice and accommodating to other people, that you're not enough, that you're too much, that being productive is the best way to spend your time, and anything that's not productive, it's just not valuable use of time, that taking care of other people is better than taking care of ourselves. Those are some of the really common ones that I experience with clients, and probably all of them in my own life from time to time.
What do you think expectations play into that? I mean, I set expectations for myself sometimes that are probably a little high, and it's not that I don't want to do it. I definitely want to do it. It's just that they're a little unrealistic. So do you see that as a factor?
Very much so. I mean, I think so many of us set these expectations without taking into consideration the need for rest, the need for pausing to have a conversation with, you mentioned you have two, I think you said two, your grown boys, did you say?
I do, yes.
Yeah, and I have two grown daughters. And I think sometimes if one of them calls me, it's a priority to me to be available to them and to connect to them. And it may change the course of my day sometimes, and to allow for things that matter, that happen as life evolves. It doesn't mean I'm abandoning my goals, but it means that there's a certain amount of unpredictability that we all go through as we're navigating through our lives. And there's a lot of different things pulling at us for time and attention. And if something is difficult, we may avoid it, for example. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter for you. It just means that it might be a bit of a longer journey to get to some of the more aligned ways of moving forward. And so being kind to ourselves as we're dealing with some of our own resistance or challenges that get in the way for us.
Well, and I think that, you know, I like the point that you make about prioritizing, because that helps me to be to stay true to my truest self. And wait, I don't know if one of my boys has a baby. Wait till you have a grandchild. Oh my gosh. Oh, you talk about priority. The day stops if I get a FaceTime call from the bird. So,
yeah.
I mean, I do think that priority helps us all, and it helps us to stay true to ourselves and to appreciate and acknowledge and the fact that we are staying true to ourselves. For those that authenticity, that genuineness is something they're really in search of, how do you help them find it?
So we start to identify these tiny steps that somebody might take. So if, for example, if somebody is one of these people that believe they have to hustle for their worth, and they are starting to realize that that is a limiting belief, it's not true for them anymore, it's a way of behaving that they've just automatically gotten into over many years, so that's pretty entrenched, but they're ready to start shifting it, we will start to set some goals. So it could be, and these are very concrete, things like ending the workday at an earlier time, or allowing a midday nap even, or, you know, pausing to go walk the dogs, or something where it is breaking into this automatic pilot that somebody might be on, and then starting to build a new habit. And I always see that there's a trial and error phase. I mean, you might decide, okay, I'm going to do this thing. If it were as simple as just doing it, that would be the end of it. But obviously it's complicated and it brings up feelings. And so somebody might say, like, if we go back to what you were just sharing with us about your grandchild, and if somebody, you said the day stops, right? If you get a call or something from the grandchild, and so, yeah, the day is stopping, and then just be mindful of getting to the end of the day and not beating yourself up on what you had in mind, allowing yourself to see that you were honoring yourself. What are some of the things that you have chosen intentionally to honor yourself with? So in your case, it's visiting with a grandchild. I know I talked about talking to my daughters, taking a rest could be that. And dealing with some of the discomfort, this evolution, whatever evolution any of us are seeking and moving towards, comes with some discomfort. And so to know that as the discomfort comes up and we check in about whether or not we were really being intentional about some of the choices that we made, then we can honor that. And if we weren't, then just to know that is really helpful and important. And trying again the next day is just let that be enough and not beating ourselves up on somehow not being robotic as we move forward through our lives.
Well, I think you make a really good point. We have to be vulnerable, and we have to say, it's okay. I'm not going to do that today. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But then you got to try again. And where I see sometimes people will stumble is they'll let go of it and they won't pick it up again.
Yeah. So I think regularly checking in about, and maybe even making a ritual every night. How do I feel I did in terms of staying in alignment, checking in with my heart? Am I choosing how I want? Did I choose today how I want to spend my day? Where did I go off and not do something that I was not intentional about? What might I want to change about that? And really do this consistent self-exploration. I do it throughout my day. I'll do regular check-ins with myself about what do you want, what do you need, especially if I'm having a moment of overwhelm, because I can be very pushy with myself about hurry up, move more quickly. I've been working on that very directly for a bit. And so I'm much kinder to myself and much more in sync with my own pacing, but it takes some time.
Well, I think that, we're all so human. And I think it does people, it helps everyone to know we're all so human, because we all are. And we're all going to struggle, and we're all going to find our way to get there. Do you find, I think you do a fair amount of group coaching, don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I love group work. And I do both groups, like virtual groups, and retreats, which are in person and, more intensive, like through a weekend where people do some work. And actually, it was the reason why I became a psychotherapist and then a coach to begin with, because I had a group therapy experience that changed my life. And I think there's something about that, learning you're not alone, and that some of the struggles that any of us are experiencing are related to sort of the being human, and that it's not really about us being flawed. It's just more, it's complicated being human and being on this journey and what that looks like. And so group work is such a great way of being reminded as we're connecting to other people and as we're navigating through our own journeys, but being able to have a front seat towards while other people navigate their journeys, it just helps us, I think, soften and just connect from our hearts in a different way.
I've heard you use the word heart many times. And I certainly see a connection between the brain and the heart. There's no doubt about it. I see a connection between the brain and the gut. I think the gut is your second brain. So, coming at everything from a brain basis, the brain's an organ, just like the heart. And so I tend to think, when I hear the word heart, I tend to think like that. Is that your intent? Are you talking more the feelings?
It's interesting, because as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, what's my connection to the brain? And I think I'm somebody who historically has overly intellectualized things and disconnected from my heart at times. And so it's something that for me, I need to be more intentional and mindful about that, and probably attract clients that do something similar. And so I think for many of the people that I work with, slowing down, feeling what, and I love that you brought up the gut as well, like feeling how things feel in your body and what's bubbling up to the surface is such an important way to stay in alignment. Because if we don't slow down, I feel like we lose sight of such an important part of our truth.
And I think you're right. It's interesting because we have Easter approaching, and this is Lent, the Lent season. That's one of the messages that I've been hearing a lot for the last 30 some odd days, is that it's time to slow down. We've all got to slow down. And putting it in a spiritual context has made me think about it in a different way, instead of just okay, Lee. I mean, and where I get going too quick is, well, I sent that yesterday. They didn't get, you know, I mean, and I recognize that everybody has a different speed, and everybody needs the, and they need to be respected. So you know, we've got about a little bit less than 5 minutes left, and we've talked about different things. But, you know, let's leave our listeners with some clear takeaways from you. What are the three things that you would like your listeners to walk away with or to have heard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the first thing is just to know that some of these places that you might find your thoughts and your energy getting caught up are not necessarily the things that are going to speak to you. They don't necessarily serve you. So just start to ask the question, is this something that is really my belief? Am I really believing that I must do this thing and keep going? Because so often I think people don't even know that there is another way. So just to put a little crack in this idea that there's a lot of have-tos out there that are not actually have-tos. So that's the first thing. I would say the second thing is, the more you can get to know yourself, the better, the more you're going to be able to move through some of this work and make some changes here. And so to really catch yourself engaged in some of these patterns and check in with yourself to make sure that if they're not in alignment, that give yourself permission to start to change some of those things. And then I think the last thing is just be kind to yourself. I think we have such a tendency to get harsh and impatient with ourselves, and to really be kind to yourself, especially through a process like this that can be, you know, take some time and take some, you mentioned the word grace earlier, and have some grace about it.
I think those are great takeaways. And, you know, grace has become one of my favorite words, because it means something special to me. And I try to show myself grace on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I certainly encourage everyone else to. And I know that the have to's, the we won't even, that's a whole nother show in itself. And the last couple of minutes we have left for our listeners that would like to learn more about you, where can they, I'm sure they can find you online, social media.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, probably the easiest way to find me is start at my website. It will connect you also to social media. It's my name, but I have an easier to remember URL, which is clearenergeticclutter.com. And on there, I have the little animation that I mentioned that explains energetic clutter in a little bit more depth. And I have a little documentary that I made about my own story of going into group and how that changed my life and how harsh I was with myself prior to that experience. And I have a free discovery session, 20 minutes, available to anybody interested in doing some work with me. And so would love to see anybody interested.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for offering that to our listeners, because I think that, you know, we all have work to do. And if we can just make it a little bit easier sometimes, that's all people, you know, that just kind of sends an invitation. And once an invitation is sent, I think it's easier for people to take it. Tanya, thank you so much for being with me today. I love the term energetic clutter, Because I know what those negative thoughts do when I get them ruminating in my head. They take over. They take up all my good energy. So when I think about that, I'll remember our conversation. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Lee. I really enjoyed our conversation.
On behalf of Lee Richardson and the Brain Performance Center, we want to thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more episodes like this, visit us on iTunes, Google Play, TogiNet, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and thebrainperformancecenter.com.